You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. .48 on a Friday. Mike McNamara with you. Hope you have all your party instructions down that you need if you're throwing a graduation party. Joining me right now from the Sugar Bear Foundation, Jennifer Carrazza. Jennifer, how are you? How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for having me back on.
Well, it's a pleasure. Are you throwing any parties anytime soon?
We are getting ready to throw an event, a fundraiser called Sugar Bears Crawl for a Cause, and we're going to be raising funds for TAPS, which is the Tragedy Assistant Program for Survivors. And so if you're listeners, we would love it if they want to come meet us on Sunday, June 4th at D Street Bar and Grill in Encinitas. And then we're going to be just doing a good old-fashioned pub crawl with some of your guys, as you know, leading the way for us.
Okay, so, okay, first of all, Jennifer, let's tell everybody about the Sugar Bear Foundation. For those of you who don't know what the Sugar Bear Foundation is, tell them what it is.
Okay, sure. Well, we are named in honor of my late husband, Lieutenant Colonel Mario Carrazza. Sugar Bear was his call sign. And unfortunately, we lost Mario in July of 2010. He was serving in Afghanistan. He was a Cobra pilot. And he, along with Major James Weiss, were shot down and killed on July 22nd, 2010. So a couple years ago, I had the opportunity to form the foundation in his honor. And what we do is we host events to raise funds for other nonprofits and organizations that support surviving spouses and children.
Okay, so your foundation helps support other foundations.
Yes. Yes, we host events, and through the events, we like to think that we're not only raising funds, but we're raising awareness for some of these programs that are out there that support families like mine. So, as you know, the nonprofit sector, the big factor is usually funding.
Right.
So if we can help these organizations raise some money and as well, awareness, because people in the civilian community and even in the military community might not know what's out there for a Gold Star family.
Right.
And so by hosting these events and, you know, doing what I'm doing right now, we're, you know, hopefully shedding some light on these amazing organizations that support families like myself.
You know, I had on a guy yesterday by the name of, I can't remember his name, Matt Phillips. Yeah,
yes.
For whatever reason, I cannot remember Matt Phillips' name. and I apologize for that. But he started a company called, he's in the coffee business.
Yep.
Dad was a Marine, and he got his eye put out. His brother had a bow and arrow when it was hit when he was 3. Yeah, they removed his eye when he was 7, so he could never serve. And so he goes to Iraq, serves with the Army as a contractor in 2008 in the Kirkuk area, and he comes home and he says, you know, I need to do more. So he meets actually a guy who's a friend of mine. He's a lieutenant general now by the name of Jody Osterman. And so Jody says, well, why don't you do something with coffee? I mean, it's what you've done your whole life.
Yep.
So he puts together a company called Jarhead Java. And,
yep.
And now he's trying to get that product in commissaries, exchanges around the world, really. Part of the American Exchange in commissary system. And he takes 50% of the profit and he gives that to the Semper Fi Fund.
Exactly.
And,
exactly.
Which is such a cool thing because Semper Fi Fund has grown into be an incredible organization. And,
yes.
But it all runs on funding that enables,
yes,
them to do the great things they do.
I know many wives that are working for Semper Fi. They are amazing, and they're doing incredible work. But it's true. Even, you know, and they're very big and recognizable, but it still relies on funding. And so I deemed it as very necessary, and I thought this would be sort of a unique angle for us because there were so many programs out there, especially in the Gold Star community, that are doing wonderful work. And so it was kind of like, why reinvent the wheel?
Right.
So, I just thought that I know a lot of the people that are heading up these foundations. Why not just help them? And so we like to say in doing that, we're continuing Mario's legacy of service. We're giving back in his name and continuing what he started out to do, and that was to serve and to give back. So I'm really happy. I'm really happy the way things are going and for what I'm able to do. So.
All right. So talk to us about, first of all, we'll finish up here with the Sugar Bear Foundation. People, how do they find you guys?
We're all over. we're all over social media. Yes, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram. Our website address is www.thesugarbearfoundation.org. And all of our event information is on there. And you can read about Mario's story. You can read about my incredible board members, some of which you know.
Yeah.
They're all amazing Marines retired. They're all pilots. They're really good guys.
At some point, you need to get an infantry guy on there. I'm not nominating anybody, but just to balance out the insanity that the we didn't get the real Marine Corps to be part of this. Okay.
No names mentioned.
Exactly, and they know it. They know who they are. So nothing else needs to be said. All right. I'm just saying. All right. So you're all over social media. So all somebody has to do is do a search on Sugar Bear Foundation, and they will find you guys.
Yes, the Sugar Bear Foundation, and you'll find us. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, your event. So, first of all, how many events do you guys do a year?
Well, actually, we just formed. It's been a year now in May. So right now we are projected at doing probably about 4 events a year.
Okay.
Which is good because we try to, you know, plan things out and we try to, you know, take some time to promote the events.
Right.
So we're doing about four a year.
And that's the key, honestly, having been involved in a substantial amount of these kind of things. Without the promotion and without the time
and
disseminating this stuff so people can digest it, it simply doesn't work. It's the road to hell is paved with good intentions, but it doesn't deliver what it can deliver. So
right.
it's painful to kind of see that. So
I'm
with you.
Yeah, having been married to a Marine for almost 15 years, you know, planning the details, that's been instilled in me. So I, you know, I definitely like to keep time.
Normally it's you instilling that in him. but you said Mario was a bit of a planner.
He was, yes, absolutely. He had our whole lives planned out, everything he wanted to do, even after the Marine Corps, yes. Yes. No, he was. He was very diligent in those matters. So, yeah.
Wow. Okay. All right. So let's talk about this event, a pub crawl. Now, how do you raise money with a pub crawl?
So if you go to our site, you'll see that you can purchase tickets. And so we're charging $25, not super expensive,
right.
$25 to attend. You can also, if you can't make it, like say you can't come, you know, you've got mass that morning and some other things going on with your family and you can't attend, you can also, there's an option to make a donation.
Okay.
So that's how we make the money right there. And then that money then is given to TAPS, who we are raising funds for. Yes.
I see. Okay, so so it's in Encinitas, and so tell us a little bit about TAPS.
TAPS and the Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors, they are just the soup to nuts go-to resource for surviving families, for Gold Star families.
Okay.
They provide everything, educational assistance. They provide grief counseling. They put on seminars throughout the year in different locations all throughout the United States. And it's not just for the spouses. They provide services for the children, for the parents, for siblings, for girlfriends, fiancés, everything. I mean, they really are the soup to nuts, the one-stop resource for families like mine. Anything you could imagine, they offer, or they can connect you with a service to provide support. And their information is listed on our page, too, on this fundraising page that we have created on the Sugar Bear Foundation. If you click on our news and events, it will provide you with information as well about TAPS.
All right, so I'm gonna test this out. The Sugar Bear Foundation.org came up already. I've evidently been there before. Okay, so now I look at news and events.
Uh-huh.
I click on events, And those are pictures of your late husband, Lieutenant Colonel Carrazzo, and your good-looking kids.
Right? Thank you. Yes. Thank
right.
you.
So it says Sugar Bears Crawl for a Cause, Sunday, June 4th at 1 o'clock.
Yep, right okay. there. And if you click that on, you'll go into a bigger page about the event.
Okay, so I click on that. And then I see TAPS,
mm-hmm.
Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors, and then it gives me the details. Okay,
yep.
Now.
And you can purchase your ticket or make a donation at the very bottom.
D Street Bar and Grill, Lumberyard Tavern, picture of Lieutenant Colonel Carrazzo, and then I can purchase my tickets.
Yep.
How about if I live in a different part of the country and I can't attend, but I certainly want to support TAPS, can I make a donation?
Exactly. There's a whole menu there, and it even asks how much you would like to donate. And
nice.
Yep, yes, we've got all bases covered.
There you go. So I can make a $100 donation, and then just add that to the cart, and
exactly,
and participate. And then the picture of your husband, part of his "I Love Me" photo
wall. Yes.
Photo wall. Yes.
Yes, we have one of those. With all the plaques and awards. Yes.
Sadly, everybody has one.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And the first time you hear that term, you do nothing but laugh because you say, I didn't know it was called that, but yeah, I'm working on mine.
Oh, yes.
My island meanwhile. Okay. All right. What haven't I been smart enough to ask you about this? So what are we going to do? We're just going to hang out and have a good time?
Yeah, I mean, the bars have been phenomenal. As soon as I reached out to them, all three bars, D Street, First Street, Lumberyard Tavern, responded so quickly. They were like, we want to be a part of this. We want to support this. So they're providing, you know, great appetizers, great drinks. Yeah, you just come and hang out. We'll probably spend about an hour at each bar, and then we are going to, you know, walk to each one because they're very close together. And, yeah, just have a great afternoon, hang out, raise money for a worthwhile cause. We try to keep our events very casual, very simple. I mean, you know, but it's a great afternoon to get your friends together and just come out. I mean, Encinitas is an awesome location, and the bars are all really great, fun places.
How do you know that?
I've heard really good things. I hate when that happens. Yeah, but Bunny planned the event for us.
Oh, there you go. So I'd have to ask him. He would know. Okay, it didn't sound like you were talking with secondhand experience, but it could have just been me. All right.
Great food. They all have great food. Yes.
Great food. Okay. All right. Anything that I haven't been smart enough to ask you that you want people to know about this event?
No, I just hope that they will, you know, like I said, if they can't attend, they'll make a donation. I mean, the money is really going for a worthwhile cause. But I hope they will come, you know, check us out. Hope they'll share the event information. Like I said, we try to keep our events just fun, casual, you know, easy. Just come on down and just help support a great cause. No, I think you asked all the right questions. So.
It was actually a trick question. Okay, that was you answered the exactly appropriate way to answer that. No, Max, you did great. All right, Jennifer, tell everybody how they find you guys one more time.
Okay, we are at www.thesugarbearfoundation.org. And again, we're on all social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. My email address is even on there. If someone has any questions, they can email me, and there you go.
Okay, I got an email question for you here.
Okay.
Mac, I heard Jennifer the last time she was on and wanted to ask a question. Is there a time limit or a timeline that you would give families to say, you know, it's probably going to take you 5 to 10 years to really be able to look back and smile? I hear the way she speaks of her late husband, and it sounds like she has nothing but joy in her heart. I'm sure that isn't always the case, as the heart is a fickle thing. But does she have advice in terms of, is there a general timeline?
I don't think so, and that's an excellent question, and I do, and like when you were talking about like the Love Me Wall and stuff like that, I do, yeah. I'm looking at Mario's picture right now, and it makes me so happy. thinking about him. I have nothing but good memories. We are almost at 7 years. Obviously, July will be 7 years. I don't think there is, and I think everyone's time frame is vastly different. You know, I think it depends on the circumstances, and I think the big key for me, for our family, it was just the support that we've received. The Marine Corps, military community, everybody has just embraced our family. Everybody loved my husband. He was just a great guy, and that love and support has been extended to us. Like I told you, I dinner last night with some squadron spouses, my girlfriends, my Marine Corps family.
We weren't really going to talk about this, so, so
that,
when I call her this morning, I did, like, it sounded like Ralph Cramden.
No.
On the phone. She's like, oh. I was like, Jennifer?
No.
She's like,
no.
Oh, Mac. I'm like, what the? You might want to, like, down a little tea there, princess. And so she obviously corrected the Ralph Cramden issue. But yeah, big night on the town last night.
Yeah, but just the support and the friendships that I've made from Mario's service, I think that is just, that's been pivotal to my moving forward. But everybody's different, and I don't think you can put a timeline on it. For me, the first 2 years, I was just in a huge haze. We were very blessed. There were a lot of memorials, and I just felt like I was just sort of going through the motions. Grateful that, you know, I had so many friends there holding my hand
right.
in the process, but I was just clueless. I was just out of it for about 2 years. I just got to a point where I just was like, look, we're still here, and we're meant to be living, and that's what he would want me to do. And he and I had those conversations, luckily, before he went off to Afghanistan. And he made that very clear to me that if, and he said it just verbatim, he said, if I don't make it back, you and the kids will be fine. I have no doubts. You'll be taken care of. And knowing Mario, he's such a positive person,
right.
He would be upset with me if I wasn't living life. And then now at the foundation and everything, it's just a good thing. And it's helping even more to move forward in a positive light. And so, and I like to think we're taking him with us. We're carrying him with us.
So are there, so it sounds like there's phases. One is a fog phase.
Yes.
Where you're just, everything is still kind of up in the air. And then is there at some point beyond fog, there's either you either, I don't want to say hit rock bottom, but
no, you do. Reality set in for me. Yes, reality set in for me after 2 years. That's when it just all be like, oh my gosh. Like, I'm looking at my kids and I'm like, and again, I have a ton of support. My parents are here and everything. Yeah. I'm amazing friends. But still, I would just be like, oh my gosh, I'm raising two kids on my own and my husband's dead. You know, I was 39 when he was killed. I was like, what is going on? And it was. And then there was probably that a bit of time in there where it just hit me and it was really hard. And then I luckily too, he had kept a journal on some of his deployments. And just reading his words and just knowing how much he wanted to serve and the fact that he was willing to die so that others could live. And that's what he had expressed to me. I thought, we're here. We I don't want to fall apart. The kids deserve better than that. And we just have to keep going. And then it was sort of like a moment or, you know, a time period where I thought, yeah, we have to keep living. And from there, it's gotten easier each year. I would say each year has gotten much easier. I mean, I always will look at my kids and right. think they're missing out. They're missing out so much,
but
we still have so much to be thankful for.
You know, it's interesting. I, in my head, when I hear you talk about reading his diaries, I remember my grandmother talking about what she considered the hardest part. And she said, you know, I didn't pack his stuff away. I mean, it stayed in the closet
yeah.
for years. And,
yeah.
you know, and his stuff had his smell on it.
Yeah.
And she said, but, you know, at some point I did have to do that. And I did it. And she said it was a sad day for me. And because for me, that was the act of she said, I don't want to say turning the page, but I had
right.
to, I had to look back at life.
Yeah.
And I had been coping with it and my life had changed and I had to embrace that change. And she said, and I tried to do it the best I could. But I have a vision of you kind of doing the same thing. You know, that diary, I mean, you know, it's his handwriting. It's his,
yep.
Right? It's the stain of his dip cup tipping over and spilling. You know, it's all, I don't know if he dipped, but
he didn't dip, but there were like some food stains
exactly.
on it.
Exactly. I mean,
like
all
that,
all that is his. And it takes you back, and then it's all part of coping. Go ahead.
With the clothes too, I was going to say, because it was so bad. He would wear stuff and then just hang it back up, and I'd be like, oh my gosh, it's so gross. But it would have his cologne and everything. And when he first died, I would just go in the closet and I would just, you know, smell his shirt.
Right.
And yeah, so that,
you know,
I've
been told, having never been through it, but I've been told that the sense of smell is probably the most overwhelming smell, because, and this comes from my grandmother. She said, you know, his shirt had his deodorant to it, had his cologne to it. And just so the scent of him was so alive, because that was still alive. And she said, and it was an incredible. She said, you know, I could go up and open one of the boxes with his stuff right now, and his smell would come out of that box, and which makes him come alive for me. So it's so interesting.
It's comforting. It's very comforting. Yeah.
So you go through the haze part, the fog part, for a couple of years or for whatever period of time, and then you go through kind of, I need to reconcile myself. And then is there a phase beyond that?
For me, there hasn't been. I mean, there's still moments something will sort of trigger, you know, you could get something in the mail or somebody could call or whatever, or something with the kids, like, you know, there's a graduation, you know, or something like that. And you kind of, for me, I have a moment, but there really hasn't been. I mean, I have to say there's just been joy. I mean, joy in remembering him.
Right.
You know, and just knowing, like, we're not just surviving, we're thriving, we're doing well. For him to be able to see the kids and see all that they're doing, and now this with the foundation, and the fact that his friends are involved in the foundation. So for me, it's been good. But I, you know, you can't speak for everybody. Everybody's sort of journey with this is different. And so for me, I just say, whatever kind of gets you through it, whatever, in a positive way, of course, but you know, I have friends that have reacted to this very differently. But it's whatever brings you peace and gets you through it. You know, you live your life what's going to work for you. And
let me read you another email, and you can tell me. Mac, I have a question for Jennifer. Bitterness. It seems to me that, let me answer the question before you answer it, did not. It seems to me the probability of a cobra being shot down in Iraq or Afghanistan is very low, simply by the numbers of times that it happened.
Yep.
Does that ever cause her or her children great anxiety? Why us? Why our dad?
I mean, initially, it's so funny. I would sort of ask that initially, kind of, you know, in your head, in my mind or whatever. But then at the same time, be like, oh, but I wouldn't want this to happen to anybody else. But again, I have to go back to Mario's mindset and him telling me that, you know, if this happened to us, he would always say, better us than some kid on the ground. Like, better that he died than some young kid on the ground. And I have to say, I always, you know, roll my eyes at him and, you know, oh, no, you're not right. But I have to say, since this has happened, he's absolutely right. He's absolutely right, because I feel like he made me strong enough to be able to handle this. And then just with the support we've received, we are okay. We're doing well. And so he's right. And the fact, too, that, you know, he was willing to die. He made that peace with himself before he went over there. So, and our mantra, even during the deployments, was it could always be worse.
Right.
You know, he could be gone for a year, he could be gone 2 years, whatever. And so I've looked at life now in that sort of viewpoint. It could be worse. We're still in beautiful California. We're still in our beautiful home. You know, we still have all our friends. My parents are here. We have a good life. We have much to be thankful for. So
do you like
be bitter.
Do you like your parents?
I do like my parents.
Okay.
I love it. No, they've been great.
Sometimes
they've raised my children. Yeah, no. Another That could be another interview right there.
Exactly. Here's another question for you. It's interesting, I think, and I don't want to say people have premonitions, but it's interesting how often you read that I don't know if, you know, I think the experience is such that you see the randomness and you see that sometimes, like, I don't know about the God who governs the flight of metal in the air, but I do know that he's fickle. And I do know that a lot of times it's more luck than skill that, you know, that people return home. And so I find it interesting how, you know, that weighs on people. And the more often they go, I think the internal dialogue in your head is, you know, and at some point, you know, your luck runs out. I mean, you can only tempt fate so often. And so I think it incredibly courageous of him to share that with you because, you know, a lot of guys and spouses go through that, but and it's in both people's heads, but nobody says anything, right?
No, I did. So we were together from the time he was at the academy, and I knew all he wanted to do was fly. That's all he ever wanted to do. And so I still remember the selection night at the academy. So I think he called me like 3 a.m. and he's like, "Yeah, I selected flight. I'm coming to Pensacola." And from that moment on, I worried. I constantly worried. We had a routine or a system, you know, especially when cell phones came out and everything, whether he was deployed or he was stateside, he would shoot an email or he would call. "I landed. I'm coming home." And I constantly worried about him. And the irony to all of this was, you know, when he went to Afghanistan, technically he was not supposed to be there flying, but that's all he wanted to do while he was there was fly. And I still remember him calling me saying, "Hey, I'm getting to fly over here." And we got into a routine where he was calling like every afternoon, I just landed and oh my gosh, and telling me some of the stories and everything. And, you know, in that situation though, I was thinking he was probably safe flying, as opposed to being on the ground where we're losing so many of our guys. But for me, it was a constant worry, but I never wanted to stand in his way of his dream. And he was living his dream. And so it just, you know, it's like with our children, we have to let them go at a certain point. So, just said a prayer every day and hope for the best.
All right. Jennifer, is there any advice that you give families, the Gold Star families that you know, and sadly, it looks like our involvement, both in, Iraq, Syria, and Afghanistan is going to increase, which means that we have not seen the end of, Gold Star families. Is there any advice that you give either family members or people that might be friends, relative to what to do when you do lose somebody?
Accept the support. Take the support. You know, if people are reaching out to you, accept it. I know everyone's, again, very different the way they handle this, but let people into your home. Let them come over and spend time with you. And, you know, stay in that environment if possible. For me, it's just been wonderful, and it's been so helpful to stay connected to that community. And I know sometimes people, you know, maybe wives don't want to stay connected to that community, but for me, I just can't express how I think what a difference it's made in our lives. So that's my advice, is just to welcome whoever, you know, whether they're in the military community or not, whatever friends want to come over and support you, let them come in and talk. Tell them what you're feeling. You know, they might not understand, but share what it's like. And, you know, I mean, I think people are sympathetic and can want to help. They want to help, I think.
But a lot of people's instinct is to say, "No, I'm okay. Thank you anyway, but we're okay." I think that's, if you ask me the default position, I would say that tends to be, you know, and you're faking it the whole time you're saying that. We're not, I mean, the thing we are least is okay. And, but for whatever reason, your mouth forms those words and they seem to come out, even though it's certainly not true. So just accept the help.
Yeah. No, definitely. Yeah, just whatever they want to do, let them, you know, when we lost Mario, The Marines were like, you know, do you want to set up times for people to come out? I'm like, my door's open. And it stayed open. And people just came over. And we just, you know, hung out, talk, whatever. And I'm so glad now that I was that, like that, that I just said, we don't need appointments or anything like that. Just come over. And that's sort of how I've kind of maintained our lives. So just, yeah, don't, I mean, you're going through something horrific. Don't be ashamed or worried to say this is hard, because it is hard. It's extremely difficult. I mean, there were days where I just, you know, yeah, I had a smile slapped on my face, but I just would be driving around, you know, running the kids around or doing errands or whatever, and just, like, I just couldn't believe it. But then his friends would say to me too, and some of them still do, they're like, we can't believe he's gone. And so, or I, you know, you see Marines that are, you're talking to and they're crying.
Right.
Because your husband's been killed. And so that, to me, just it just resonated.
Aviators, okay, not grunts, okay? Just want to make sure everybody knows that. It's the sissy part of the Marine Corps. So we, in the infantry, we don't cry. Or we do it in private, and we certainly don't go on the radio talking about it. But no, you know, it's hard stuff. And Jennifer, I'll tell you what, I mean, I certainly appreciate you coming on and talking about it, because
thank you.
It's not, no, I mean, it, I think it helps a lot of people to hear this discussion. And just like, we do with, whether it's traumatic brain injuries or amputations, you know, when you can talk about it and you can talk about the issues. I got a message last night. Out of the blue, from a guy I've had on this program who had a traumatic brain injury. Took him 5 years to be able to come back and live a moderately normal life. But he couldn't read. He couldn't write. And he had to relearn all those behaviors because of the gunshot wound he got to the head. And he sent me a message last night that said, hey, I need to come back on and we need to talk about seizures. I said, all right. Actually, he said, no, you need to talk about seizures. I said, well, why don't you come on and talk about it?
Yeah.
And he said, okay. But, it's just the more we talk about these things, the more we're able to help. You know, it's just like mental health issues and suicide.
Yeah.
You know, suicide is something that is just absolutely brutal. But, if you'll talk about it, you can at least take the first step in terms of helping, people. Deal with it, which is talk about it. Now, at the end of the day, you may not be able to prevent it because the person that's going through it has their own issues they're dealing with. So you can take a horse to water. You can stick his head in the water. You can stick a hot pipe up its ass to try to get him to suck in water. But guess what? If they don't want to do that and if they have a different plan.
Oh, yeah. Their mind's made up. Yeah.
It's a different mindset. Yeah, there's nothing you can do. And that's not your fault, by the way. But you can't get to that place if you won't talk about it. And so, so thank you for coming on. All right,
no,
so Sugar Bear Foundation, if you do a search on that, the Sugar Bear Foundation, you will find oodles and oodles of information on it.
Yes.
And then go to the website. We'll have you back on the week of. June 4th.
Thank you.
And we'll remind everybody. No, not a problem. So, and then,
awesome.
And you know, you're on notice that anytime you need help, you can always call here and we're happy to have you.
Thank you. I appreciate it so much.
All right. Good luck with that hangover.
way to
fake it for a half hour. Nice going. All right. Well done. Well done. Tell the girls nice work last night. All right, Jennifer, have a good one. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You
bet. Bye-bye.
That is Jennifer Carrazzo. SugarBearFoundation.org. Check it out. You can make a donation if you can't go. But, you know, again, sadly, as we begin to talk about, you know, whether it's more people in Yemen, more people in Somalia, more people in Afghanistan, and certainly going to be more people in Syria, you know, we know what comes with that. And that is... more service members killed in action. So TAPS does great work, Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors. And the event is on June 4th. It's in Encinitas. If you live in the Southern California area, you can certainly be a part of it. If not, you can certainly be a part of it by simply donating. Donate $5, donate $10, donate something. All right? You don't have to knock it out of the park. But together, you know, that's how we knock it out of the park. All right, we're going to take a break. This hour of All Marine Radio brought to you by our friends at the Marine Corps Mustang Association, which is comprised of officers from the Marine Corps and other services who share a common background. They initially enlisted and served with distinction in the Marine Corps and the Marine Corps Reserve enlisted ranks. The term Mustang refers to a warrant officer or commissioned officer who has risen from the enlisted ranks, owes its origin to the wild horse of the American Plains, and is a distortion of the Spanish term Mustango. Yeah, I didn't know that, did you? The Marine Corps Mustang Association, founded in Philadelphia on 10 November 1985 as a nonprofit veteran service organization by Captain Robert Richter. In its 33rd year of existence, the association continues to dedicate itself to the advocacy of professional development and encouragement of younger Marines, demonstrating a pathway for advancement and offering mentoring, advice, and camaraderie over the course of their military service and civilian career. You can contact them via their website, MarineCorpsMustang.org. I say again, MarineCorpsMustang.org. You can find them on Facebook as well. Go ahead and like them. Most importantly, join the organization. They do great work with Mustangs themselves, with family members, scholarships, and they need your help. So join the organization, MarineCorpsMustang.org. Now, more of All Marine Radio. The Gunner are going to join us. Coming up next on the All Warrior Radio Network.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good,
are you really listening?
I still have nightmares.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our way of living, a quality of life? The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit, into business development, and how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage. just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there with folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
On Veterans Day, the nation honors the men and women who risk their lives to protect our freedom. Social Security does its absolute best to honor veterans and active duty members of the military every day by giving them the respect they deserve. For those who return home with injuries, Social Security is a resource they can turn to. If you know any wounded veterans, please let them know about Social Security's Wounded Warriors website. The Wounded Warriors website answers many commonly asked questions and shares other useful information about disability benefits, including how veterans can receive expedited processing of disability claims. Learn more by visiting www.socialsecurity.gov/woundedwarriors.